Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Immediately, Jesus makes his disciples get into the boat. Why? Why would he do that? Why in the world would he make his disciples go into this boat, go before him to the other side, if he is God and he knows everything that's going to happen? He literally sends them into this very difficult situation where they're rowing so hard up until like 3-4 in the morning. And from other accounts, we know that they only made it like 3 or 4 miles after rowing all night. Why? Why would Jesus do that to his disciples? I thought he loved these guys. It doesn't make any sense. I just don't understand. But as we reflect on this gospel account, we almost see ourselves in it. Why would Jesus send the disciples out into this storm? Why would he send them into this difficult situation? Why would he send us into difficult situations? Well, the truth is, not one part of God's word that is recorded for us is incidental. Not one of Jesus' words, not one of his sermons, not one of his actions, none of it is by coincidence. Everything happens for a purpose. And in this particular text, Jesus sends his disciples out into this storm, into this hard situation, because they need to exercise their faith. He's trying to teach his disciples who he is and that they can trust in him, no matter what. And so where is Jesus, right? Because remember, Jesus, he makes them get into this boat, and then he sort of sends them off into the sea. But Jesus is like, well, I'm just going to stick around here for a while, guys. See you later. You know, he dismisses crowds and he goes up on a mountain, right? And he's praying and he's safe and he doesn't have to worry about this storm the disciples are fighting against. And what is he doing up there but praying? Why would it be so important for Jesus to pray while his disciples are struggling? Because it shows us who Jesus is. He is the one who is kneeling in prayer, receiving strength from the Father, because he can approach God directly. He has no sin. He can be that advocate. He can lift up his prayers. And what is God doing? Well, really, he's strengthening him. I mean, prayer is like the number one surefire way to receive strength from the Lord. To fall on your knees and express that God is the one who's going to sustain you. And so Jesus is doing this, right? He's up on this hill. You know, when we hear mountain, like a lot of times we think like Big Peak, you know, Snowy Caps type deal. That's not what sort of mountain this is, right? This is like a little hill that like sits over top of this lake, right? So Jesus can actually see the boat. He sees the boat as he's praying, and who do you think he's concerned about? It's not himself. He didn't stay on the land so that he'd be safe and his disciples could struggle. He stayed on the land that way he could watch over them. That way he could stand above them, that he could pray for them, and ultimately go help them. You see, it was no secret to Jesus that his disciples were struggling. It's not as if he was just ignoring their hardship. Well, they'll probably eventually get to the other side. It'll be fine. No, instead he's showing his compassion and great faith and concern. He's lifting up prayers to the Father. Well, like the disciples, we too go through rough and stormy times in our own lives, sometimes making headway painfully. For some, it might be sickness or trouble in your physical bodies. For others, it might be various financial burdens. And for others still, there might be family concerns that you're worried about. We live in a world that is filled with strife. And then even when we go on vacation and we come back, it's like we get a little respite. Or, you know, even if we have like a really good day one day, we know that these problems, they're going to crop back up. No one lives a problem-free life. No one lives a life where the winds just never blow. It doesn't work that way. And so whether it's today or whether it's tomorrow or whether it's a year from now, the winds of adversity are going to blow against you in life. And as we reflect on the issues, we can't help but wonder why. It's like Jesus told us to get in the boat with the disciples and send us off into this stuff, right? God, if you're up there, if you're in control of the whole world, why do I have to deal with this? Why did you send this thing my way? We're rowing, right? We're exerting all of our energy and we're trying to get out of our awful situations, but in the end, we end up just like the disciples. We're scared. We're anxious. We're uncertain. We don't know where to turn next. Where is Jesus the whole time? Lord, where are you? I mean, that's what we ask when we make it to trouble, right? God, where are you in the midst of my life? Where are you when I'm dealing with this difficulty? Do you even care? Are you even listening? Do you even know what problems I experience? Well, of course he does. Your struggles are no secret to Jesus. He doesn't ignore you. It's not like he just sort of stood on the shore and waved, just sort of, well, we'll see if they make it to the other side, okay. No, he ascended into heaven to a high place where he can overlook the entire world, where he can make sure that all of the pieces that need to move can move into their proper places. That way you, God's people, not only in Chestnut, but also across the world, will be taken care of. He acts as an advocate between you and the Father, offering himself. That way you can have good in this life. And he's not ignorant of your issues. He's not ignorant of your situation. How do we know? What does Jesus do with the disciples? He comes down. He comes down and he walks across the water and he finds them. What does he do with you? He finds you too. See, as our text continues, we hear these words. Jesus came to them walking on the sea, and he meant to pass by them. Right? And we sort of go, that's weird. It doesn't mean like pass by, like I'm going to try to like sneak by. I hope they don't see me. No, Jesus here, to pass by them, it's a Hebrew idiom. It means that he's going to save them, that he's going to have his presence come into their midst. That way they might be okay. But when they saw him walking on the sea, when Jesus comes to help them, they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out, for they were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them. He said, take heart, it is I. Fear not. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Jesus comes with words, and he comes with actions. And the same words that Jesus spoke to his disciples are the same words that he declares to you. Fear not. Why? Because Jesus is here. He doesn't just watch your struggles from up above. He actually comes to this earth to experience it with you, to reassure you that it's all going to be okay. And so what struggle you got in life? Are you afraid, right? Maybe death or sickness or pain or family issues or financial hardship. Is that anything to fear? No. We have nothing to fear. Why? Well, think about, you know, all sickness, right? That came up in our text too. Just by experiencing the fringe of Jesus' garments, just by taking in a little tiny bit of Jesus, these people have reassurance their sickness is gone. And so do you. You will be healed for all eternity. Sickness will not be a problem in your future, I promise. Death? Well, we all know that one too, right? What did Jesus do? He goes to a cross, he bleeds, he dies, and 3 days later he comes back to life. You don't have to worry about death. You don't have to fear death. Jesus conquers death. It's done. It's finished. It's gone. You'll live forever. Jesus' words are for you. Fear not. Worried about family? I worry about family too sometimes. But what does Jesus do except provide for families? He even did it for his own mother. Remember, he's dying on the cross and he looks down at the apostle John. He says, from now on, you're going to take care of mom for me. Why? Because God sustains families. He comes to them. He reassures them of his promises. He reassures that everything's going to work out. The Lord's watching over. And so again, Jesus' words are for you. Fear not. He's watching over you. Jesus even pays the biggest debt. You're worried about financial problems? Well, if there was a divine tally sheet, you know, I can't even imagine how long it'd have to be even each and every day for the amount of sins that we've racked up, right? We're literally buried in them. And if God actually expected us to pay him back, that's when people go to hell, right? That's not a good thing. But what does Jesus do? He goes, actually, all that debt, yeah, I took care of it. It's gone. Why? Well, because this is what God does for you. He takes care of your problems. He announces that you're forgiven, that you're holy, that God doesn't expect you to pay him a dime in thought, word, or deed. You have nothing that you need to pay towards God. It's paid in full. And so again, Jesus' words there for you. Fear not. These aren't idle words from a Savior who is far off. This is how Jesus visits. Remember, he doesn't stay up in heaven, but he comes down to his people. And guess what? He's doing it right now. God comes to you. Jesus is present in the very words of forgiveness, life, and salvation you hear. He's present every time you hear the scriptures, every time you hear a sermon. Jesus visits you. He comes into your ears, and he makes a dwelling place in your heart to reassure you that you have nothing to fear in this life at all. Zero. Zip. What's more, but he visits you in your baptism. He has promised that he'd be with you forever. Not just in some sort of like proverbial spiritual, you know, but physically with you, walking beside you every day, even though you can't see him, he's there because he's promised to be. Jesus visits you as the Lord's Supper comes into your mouth, the true body, the true blood, the very physical presence of God with you. These are the ways that Jesus, he walks across the stormy waters of our life, and he comes to reassure you that, yes, I am the Lord, I am in charge, and you have nothing to be afraid of. And so today I want to encourage you to reframe your perception of life's struggles. Because if you look where the disciples ended up at the end, the struggle, right, the night-long struggle, it led them to be utterly astounded and trusting in Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what our struggles do for us. You know, no struggle is fun. Nobody likes to experience hardship. But it's good for the believer to endure life's wind. Why? Because it's only in overcoming our difficulties that Christian faith develops. In the midst of hardship, in the midst of struggle, the Lord purifies faith and he strengthens it. Have you guys ever gone through a hard time in life and you sort of look back and you go, oh man, actually the Lord was looking out for me. Actually the Lord was taking care of me. You know, I see how some of these pieces connect now. I understand why this all had to happen. And to be honest, sometimes we won't recognize that either. But the truth is still there, that the Lord sustains, the Lord provides, the Lord is always caring for you, his people. And so when the struggles arise, don't think of it as something awful, I mean, even though it may be. Think of it as an opportunity for the Lord to strengthen your faith. Think of it as an opportunity for you to fall on your knees and trust in Jesus more than you ever have in your life. My friends, why would Jesus knowingly put his people into a difficult situation? Well, the answer might not be revealed. We might not know. But in whatever circumstance the Lord puts us in, allow it to lead you to the truth. The truth about who Jesus is. Because he is your sustaining Savior who will be with you every day of your life, both now and into all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.